Good morning. Before I start, because I know he won't do it, I think it's important that we make note that that Paul was up doing the offering and collection this morning. He said while we were sitting up here, it's been 7.5 years. So if there is God's working, that is God's working. So to come from where he was to being able to do that again is wonderful. And I know he wouldn't say anything because he's very humble, but I think it's worth noting that he made his way back here. So think of him as you pray sometimes. Remember that those good things do happen. I have a job. Happy about that most of the time. That is measurable in the things we do. I measure an output, production, how well the people I am responsible for do. It's very easy to put numbers to it and to walk through the front to the back. I think about that when I'm thinking about doing my talks a lot and how to relate it so that I can explain it. My one thing that I worry about is not being able to get a meaning across when I'm trying to do a talk. Since we are measured in our day-to-day life, it's very, very easy to come to church and worrying about measuring up in comparing yourself with other members of the church. I would ask you that do you do that? Do you place yourself on a scale? I think there are great things to esteem to be. I hope that my day-to-day Christian life can be as happy as Audrey's was. And that's something I hope for. It's not a measuring stick, it's a wish and a goal. Do you measure yourself in the right way? Are you examining yourself and are your markers correct? Do you work on being right? Do you work on improving yourself? Are you doing what you say you will, or are you being hypocritical and riding the front while doing something else in the back? What is wonderful about a Christian is that we know God views our interior. So no matter how any of this looks or appears on the outside to you, God is looking inside. And the hope to be beautiful inside is for everyone. And what's best is that God judges that. That's not judged by anyone in the room. Your interior, your true heart that God knows, sees you. And he sees you no matter what. The closest relationship to have, truthfully, is with Christ. Because there is nothing you hide. Whether you think you do or you do not. There is nothing hidden from Christ. His view of you is exact. It's total. So no matter what you may convince yourself of, Christ knows it to be right or wrong. No matter how you view the situation or a motive, Christ knows it to be right or wrong. As God views our interior, there is a phrase that my dad used to use, and still does, that it's not necessarily addressing our Christian life, but he says, every old barn can use a little bit of paint. Now in that, sometimes, and since they're not here, I think maybe he's referring to my mom. But again, he's not here. He can't speak to that. And I don't think Mom will probably listen to this online unless someone tells her, so we're good to go there and there won't be a rift caused by me. Well, my father says that. He, after 60 years, loves my mother. There's never been a question of that. What he sees is that sometimes trying to look your best is enough. You don't have to look like a 20-year-old when you're 95. Wouldn't it be great? It'd be great to feel like a 20-year-old. I don't know if I look like that. And maybe you didn't look great as a 20-year-old and you're happy the way you look now. That's good too. We aren't talking about complete exterior changes. you measure yourself to others, other Christians? In Romans 2:2 it says, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. We are judged according to the truth, and knowledge that increases the truth won't change. In that, in 2 Timothy 3:7, it says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. What that's discussing is whether you're knowledgeable. You can be very knowledgeable. We always say that we know the devil knows the Bible front to back, left to right, up and down. He's very knowledgeable. That doesn't change his position. His knowledge is for nothing. It's to drag us away from where we need to be, to take us away from Christ. Being overly concerned sometimes in the way that you appear takes you away from Christ. Not just physical appearance, but appearance of proper Christianity can take you away. If you appear to be one thing and are discovered to be another, there's as much damage done there as if you would have just done it up front. I think being able to project yourself as a Christian is a very important thing. To reveal imperfections isn't great, but it happens. The most glorious thing about our Christian life is that we are forgiven and believed to be. Sometimes not having trouble. Have you ever gone through a portion of life, it seems it's going well? Maybe something is falling apart in the background. I sometimes equate this to life and personal, or work life and personal life. Things can be going very good. Can be going wonderfully, in fact, in your work life. But in your personal life, you're losing out. Years ago, I would have had trouble with that. I don't want to be crossed out. There's things I don't want to miss in my personal life. I'm aware of those now. I wasn't always. Sometimes I let the work part of it get the best of me, that it took me away from the things that were important. My church, my family. Because I was so worried about being able to put bread on the table. Still a worry. But it has to be put into perspective. I won't get that word out. You need to be in good standing with God all the time. Not just some days. All the time. My favorite, as I was looking through some things, was delayed judgment means no judgment. And what that means, and they related a lot to the reason that people sometimes text and drive. You did it once, there was no trouble. You did it twice, there was no trouble. You did it three times, there was no trouble. You did it the fifth, you run into somebody lightly, but not big. You do it the tenth, you get by with it. 50th time you text and drive, you hit someone and hurt them. Or you hurt yourself. You take a life. The brain is gauged to find things that we do and get past as a no problem. Something in your conscience tells you that, it was all right last time. I can do it again. Nobody around. I'm on an open road. Nothing ever happens when you're driving by yourself on open road. So delayed judgment means no judgment. Judgment comes for all. There are no liars in heaven. There will be no liars on judgment day. We have to be prepared for that. No judgment yet means no judgment yet. Delayed doesn't mean anything other than it's coming. Romans 2 and 3 it says, and you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things, and doing the same that you will escape the judgment of God. And in 2:11 it says, for there's no partiality with God. There's no partiality with God. That means whether you're rich, poor, black, green, red, white, blue, it makes no difference. Whether you're Greek, you're Asian, American, the judgment comes to all. God has no partiality for the Greek nor the Roman, as it says in the verse. He judges us all the same. Another great thing. That means that He sees me, He sees my heart, He knows where I am. And as He's looking, and as I'm praying and asking for answers, He's answering me when He chooses. And He does answer. I'm going to read about God's righteous judgment. For as many have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or also excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. Studying. God is going to reveal all the secrets of men. You know, one of the greatest things to look to for me in going to heaven is knowing the answer to some things I don't know now. And some are ridiculous. Is there a Loch Ness Monster, which I watch every time it comes on TV? You know, that answer will be given to me. Silly things that don't matter. I just feel all the answers coming to me as I pass and as I ascend to heaven. Hopefully ascend to heaven. God's going to reveal all our secrets. Which means He's going to reveal all the secrets of man. Our secrets. There are things that we hold close to our heart. He's going to reveal those to everyone. Living or past. Those secrets are going to be given out. Of your true heart. Your true motive. The vision behind things. If there is no fear at the judgment day, you should self-examine. Because the goal is to get to no fear on judgment day. There's going to be things in our past, perhaps in the future. Who knows how we live? To know the true heart is to know the real person, which Christ does. We are told to let no one stand between us and Jesus Christ. To always search for Him, to always be seeking Him. No matter how we feel, never to find complete comfort. To always be wanting to do more. There are people in the church that have passed on that we can think, that I can think of. People that always ask to do more. You know, you wanted to see them here. They strove to be here. They worked to be here. It was their joy, their pleasure. And that's where we need to be. In this life, there is no one so bad. There is no one so good that either can't be saved or that doesn't need to be saved. It's an all-inclusive thing. You can't be too good that you don't need it. And you can't be so bad that it never has opportunity for you. We pray sometimes for people that they change their ways before they're gone. We pray, as Randy said, for our children because we want them on the right path. We worry for them. It's something that never changes. Do we worry about ourselves? As I was writing the talk, I started to think about that because you need to. You know, you should be conscious of your relationship with Christ at all times. Know where you're at. Know what you want to do. Where you strive to be. We were in a wedding yesterday. There's always a lot of love in the air at a wedding. and this is terrible, one of my favorite things to do is listening to the maid of honor, best man speeches. Because I think a lot of times those speeches reveal the person giving the speech more than maybe they reveal the bride or the groom. There's great speeches made, and there's great things said sometimes to brides and grooms up there. Because that's a day that they start their lives together, their lives together in Christ as a family. That's the first day. To listen sometimes and hear a maid of honor, a best man, speak about the person that they're talking about, the bride, the groom, and to give a glowing review of who that person is sitting there, it means that friendship is true, that they've done the time, that they realize what a great friend they have. When we're talking about Christ and the church, do you reveal what a great friend you have? Is it evident when you speak about it that you're happy to be here? That you're happy to study, that you're happy to read the Bible, that you're happy to know Christ a little bit deeper today than you did yesterday? Do you reveal it? Do you let it out? It's hard sometimes to hold that in. You know, it's very easy to sometimes go negative as opposed to positive and just hold all that good stuff in. We all have good things to share. Bringing that forward is your relationship with Christ. Are you that friend with Christ that you can give that glowing speech when someone asks? Are you the person that can be in front of one person and tell them what a great relationship you have with Christ? Romans 10, 9 through 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you give your life to Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? We say, repent ye and be baptized. If you have done that, have you truly given your life over? There was a wonderful thing online that said, baptism the day after. Baptism's great. And I've talked about that, how it seemed that coming out of that water just kind of refreshed me. I've made a lot of jokes about Lowell holding me under a little too long, giving me that real son-in-law treatment. I don't think he probably did. Maybe he did. But to know that relationship, when you come out of that water, after that baptism, what was the next day like? For those of us that have done it, was it a great day? Was it a day where you suddenly knew that you were part of God's family, that you could bring all that love into your heart and know that you were going forward into a world that maybe would be good or bad? It happens. But that no matter what, you were going to take home that closeness, that ability to be intimate with a friend that was going to stay with you through everything the rest of your life on this earth. And that hopefully you could take with you, not only beyond this life, but to the next life. Something you hold dear. Your relationship only, your personal thing. A personal relationship that can't be described by any words, that can't be told to anyone in any depth. It's your relationship with Christ. It's the thing that you hold dear. Did that day, when you came out of that water, did you surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Did you tell Him, we're going to do this together? No different than what the marriage was yesterday, where you have two people coming together and giving their lives together to Christ. The church I used to attend after a wedding service, during a wedding service at the end, the church would always present, or the minister would always present a Bible that said the family name on it. And his comment was, here's your Bible, wear it out. Yesterday, the gentleman that was doing the wedding, they had some pre-wedding counseling, and he asked them to write why they wanted to get married, why one wanted to get married to the other. We have the bride who wrote wonderfully. Gave a really nice dissertation about why she wanted to marry him. We have the groom who gave a very nice dissertation about why he wanted to marry a bride. Groom. Four sentences. That was enough for him. She had to describe more. She had more ability to express. He asked that they read that every anniversary to each other, to remember how they felt the day they got married. Now I would ask you, those of you who have been baptized, when the anniversary of your baptism comes up, do you remember in your heart how it felt to come up through that? Do you remember, when we remember the Lord's table each Sunday, how it felt to come out of that water and be cleansed, knowing that you now have the ability to go see Christ? That you have been saved. You have to keep working at it. It's not a one-time deal. But that you have now been saved and have the opportunity to be forgiven for your sins, cleansed as you come out of that water. Romans 10 and 13. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. At the beginning I talked about being a measuring stick, someone to measure up to. And that as Christians, we really don't need to compare each other. We have to be intimate with our Lord so that we're doing what He asks of us. We don't need to compare one to another. I don't worry if I'm any better Christian than you are. And you certainly shouldn't worry about if you're a better Christian than I. We all need to worry about where we end up at the end of our lives, whatever that's going to be. And that needs to be in heaven. As I said, I'm not a stick to be measured against. I've said this many times before. If you are measuring up to something, do not use me. I try to live as a Christian. And I succeed and I fail. There's no perfection before you. I make mistakes in the way I speak, in the way I think, and sometimes in the way I act. The thing that differentiates me now is that when I ask for forgiveness, I am forgiven. I believe I am forgiven. There is no way to be perfect. Christ was the only one that came here and lived a perfect life as a human. Then and now. And until He comes back, perfection won't be here. You can't be perfect. When you wake up, do you call upon Jesus? Do you repent from your sins and turn to Jesus and ask Him to forgive your sins? I talk a lot about that song, "The Room at the Cross." This is a good hook to "Room at the Cross." Because while there was only one perfect person, that means everybody in this room and outside, there's room for all of us if we repent and call Him and be baptized. So when you wake in the morning, I'm going to ask that tomorrow and maybe going forward, as you wake, if you wake, Lord willing, that you remember what it felt like after your baptism. What it felt like to come out of that water and be cleansed, to be given the opportunity of life everlasting. Again, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven." So remember that. Wake up. Remember the feeling that you were given. Remember that blessing. Remember it, take it into your heart, and remember actually how it felt the day you decided that you wanted to be here and be a Christian, to be involved with the church and be involved with our Lord's family. Remember that. It might be a stretch for some. Maybe baptism a long time ago. Maybe it's close. It doesn't matter. Remember that day. Search for it. Try to bring it back. If you have not been baptized, or if you have a need of the church, we would tell you that now is the time. Don't wait. Don't guess that you'll do it tomorrow. Come forward now. Don't let another minute pass by before being baptized. Come forward. Confess, and let's get you taken care of. Don't wait. If you do want to do that, become part of us, or if you need help of this church, Please come forward as we sing the last song.